the end zone. Stroud in trouble. He stepped out of the end zone. Sack! Safety! Game over! Landry with his sixth sack of the year. It's two for Tennessee. And guess who's come to H-Town and going to get a win?
Titans beat the Texans, dropping Houston to 7-5.
Is that the loudest anyone's ever shouted the word sack?
Possibly.
That was a pretty... It looked out of nowhere, too. Yeah, Stroud ran out... Did he run out of the back of the end zone, or was it a real sack?
No, yeah, back of the end zone.
Yeah, he stepped out first?
Yeah. Tough one. Tough one for Houston. They're 7-5. When they beat the Bills, they look like the toast of the league.
Yeah. I think we got to officially, not that this probably isn't a good exercise anyway, need to stop doing the exercise, especially in the next month or so, as the playoff scenarios get closer. Stop doing the, well, guys, if the two beats the six, if everybody yes. beats who they should, well, then the Bills, if they're the two, they'll play the Texans in the second round. If everybody beats who they should, I don't think the Texans are getting the divisional round, even though they're the four. Are they going to be?
Yeah, because
they're going to be an underdog.
The Broncos, the Chargers, and I would pick them to lose to either of those teams right now.
Or the Ravens? Like, are the Chargers or the Ravens favored against the Texans at home? Like, I would pick either one of those teams right now to beat the Texans, even on the road.
Yeah. Well, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton later today about the Sabres road trip. Wrap up their road trip where they got three straight wins. Sweep a Western Conference trip. Sweep any trip. I mean, three straight wins for this team has not been something they've done quite often. They rallied in a couple of those games from down, which is also impressive.
Yeah.
And a lot of different explanations for why they did it, and I will be the guy guilty of giving one big answer, and that's that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been tremendous. Reimer did get a win, too.
Reimer was also great on
yes,
Saturday.
He was. Yeah. Their goalies have come to play. Like, really, how did they survive this stretch without Tage? Goalie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, like, they weren't like super dangerous, right? Like throughout the three game stretch, like they were fine. Tuck shorthanded is like one of the most dangerous things like in the league, I feel like, because he's so fast and has a long stick, but like constant pressure, you know, they were never looking amazing. Their goalies were great the whole time, but you know, like they played, can I call it like Islander style hockey, where they played a little more defensive, it looked like, and they were blocking shots, and there was the point about there being no panic at the end of the Kings game, despite the fact they were hemmed in, and they found a way to win playing a more defensive style a little bit. That being said, as you mentioned, like they came back in both, it was the Anaheim and the San Jose game, I think, that they came back in. They needed third periods all three games to win those hockey games.
Yeah.
So... And they're getting, hopefully, their best offensive player back on Wednesday. Is it weird at all that he practiced the whole week and never played?
It is weird, and I think the Sabres are getting a reputation for not being upfront about injuries. Like, this happened a lot day to day, and the guy misses 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but who knows? Who knows?
Like, is the simple explanation, there could be a simple explanation if this is all that's happening, would just be, hey, guys, he's been injured in two straight seasons where he rushed back from injury and wasn't the same when he got back. So we just want to be extra cautious here. Like, that would be a very simple explanation, I think, to why he would be practicing and not playing. But we don't know that because it's just, well, he's playing and he was close. But it was a game time decision on Friday, maybe. And then Saturday they were hopeful and no Saturday. So I don't know. 4 days off in between, though, I have to think Wednesday he's playing.
Yeah. 803-0550. In the standings, the Sabres have this thing called more points than games played, which is something that is, I mean, so rarely happened. Yeah.
What is that like? Let me see.
More points than games played. They're a plus in goal differential. They are third in the division and not even like fake third. They're third in the division with a game in hand on some of these wildcard teams. So it's good times, you know, good times. Good for them.
They're above Boston and Tampa Bay at this point in time.
Have you gone to the switching back to football? Have you gone to the New York Times playoff machine?
Not this weekend. No, not today either.
Well, there's something very fun at the New York Times playoff machine.
Okay,
so you know how it works. Like you can click on the team, and it'll give you their chance to make the playoffs, win division, get a bye. You can dial up for every single seed. you know, depending on if you're a Bengals fan, you can dial it up to do, all right, show me to make the playoffs, which, by the way, the Bengals are 10% to make the playoffs right now. So the Bills have, as of right now, the first round bye is 48-46 Chiefs. That gap went down 1 point yesterday. Now, the New York Times playoff machine is not just who you play. It is ranking those teams, how they play. You know, it's not just coin flips.
Right.
So that's important to keep in mind here. So to make the Super Bowl, who's the number one team in the AFC?
Is it Kansas City?
It is not.
It's the Bills?
It is the Bills.
Okay.
It is 17% to 10% Bills.
By 7%?
Yeah, like almost twice as likely.
Wow.
Again, whatever. Do we have to care? Listen, if the Bills were second, we'd say it's crap. Now that they're on top, we got to respect this system.
Right. Right.
How about that?
Well,
like, the favorite in the AFC, according to the New York Times playoff machine, is now the Bills. And that might be the fact that we just went over. Their schedule just took a bunch of losses. It got easier.
Would that have to be, we think they're getting the one seed? Or could it just be we think that the Bills are a better football team?
Yeah, better, yeah.
Which I think every game the Chiefs play, I think you can say it about the Bills more and more that they're a better football team, I think. Are the Bills, say what you will, like, it really doesn't matter to winning the Super Bowl because you're not going to play a team like this in the playoffs, but does anyone believe the Bills would only beat the Panthers by 3? Like, when they roll the Panthers, when they beat them by 30? I mean, them against bad teams this year, I think, has been, at least been better than what the Chiefs has been. So, I don't know. Like, you're asking, if you're Kansas City, I think, for one of these games to go against you. Like, and you only need one or two of them, probably, because the Bills might only lose one more game.
Yeah, you'd think. Just Detroit. And watching them yesterday, there are also some interesting numbers, like Jared Goff, home and road. So.
Okay.
You know, how does that affect the Bills? Well, the Bills will play him in Detroit. We know that. But if they meet in the Super Bowl, what is that? How do you do with that one? Goff this year, home and road. Like, his success rate, his numbers are better at home. There's no doubt about it. He takes fewer sacks, quarterback rating's higher. But I don't know. I wonder about the Lions. I wonder about them. To me, they look like not quite a perfect team. But they're Sonic and Knuckles rushing attack. They commit to it, and they're good at it. And they score rushing touchdowns every single week.
I think it's like, is it 23 games in a row a running back has scored a touchdown for them?
Yeah. So they are, you want to talk about a team that wants to be balanced, you probably want to be Detroit because Detroit's passing attack is good, and they've got great weapons in that. And they run the ball with commitment and with explosive plays as well. That's another huge part of what they do.
Well, what's interesting is because they're great. They're amazing. Don't get me wrong. Because they play in the toughest division in football, they don't have that wrapped up yet.
Yeah.
Like, they only have a one-game lead on their division and they only have a two-game lead on third. They are 10-1, Minnesota's 9-2, and Green Bay is 8-3. So they're I'm sure a strong favorite to still win that division, but like they kind of can't. They could, like them, they could easily go on the road this year in the playoffs if they drop a couple. And their schedule at the end, they have two against Chicago, which is easy, and then they play Green Bay and Minnesota, plus the Bills. They're at San Francisco, so that might be an easier game than we thought. But
that's tough.
Like, they're a great team, but they don't have the problem that I think the Bills have, and they definitely don't have the problem that, or the Chiefs, I don't really think have this problem either yet, which is they've got a tougher division race right now. And if you're telling me Goff has got like a pretty clear difference, home versus road, and there's still a chance that they could go on the road in the playoffs, that means they're still playing for a lot, I think, down the stretch.
Yeah, that's probably right. They looked good enough to beat.
That game was weird, though. It was weirdly close for like the first half. I mean, Indy got down into the Detroit territory a few times and didn't score. That was Carolina, by the way, yesterday. Carolina, I'll have to get this. Carolina had field goals from inside, I think 4 field goals from inside the Kansas City 15-yard line. Like, they would get down right near the end zone and then just could not punch it in. Like, they had no ability to punch it in yesterday.
Yeah.
But
803-0550. When we get back, I've got something for you. I did learn something from a rules official yesterday.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And not like a sarcastic, I ruled, no. Like snarky.
I learned something from Mike Pereira I did not know. I don't know if you know it. I don't know how many people know this about the replay process and the inequities. He used the word inequities. It was something he said on the broadcast. I learned something. I'll tell you what it was. And you decide how outrageous it is that the NFL accepts this as normal. Mike Pereira, what he said about the replay system when we get back.